God bless you. Psalm number 90, please. Psalm number 90. It'll take me just a little while to get there. Doing something a little bit different tonight. This is the first Sunday of the new year, and I felt the Lord leading and just giving you a simple acrostic tonight on the two words, new year. We're typically preaching through books of the Bible, but I want to follow the Lord, and I feel like this is the direction that He would have us to go. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write down those words vertically, new year, because I'm going to give you something for each letter in those two words to do this year. Matter of fact, I would encourage you, I'm planning on doing this myself, God helping me, to turn this into a prayer list. And every day of my life, God help me to do these things that I'm going to give you tonight. Now, these are just simple thoughts, basic truth. And tonight I want to be a help to you, a blessing to you, as we think about this new year together. I'm speaking to you on what to do this year. What to do this year. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Pray you help me to be faithful to you now. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now quickly, I need somebody to find James 4:14. Who'll do that? Quickly. Brother Scott, now wait on me. Don't jump up and read it when you get it. Just wait on me to call for it, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Brother Jack Mosier. Joshua 1:8. Quickly, friends. Brother Mike Cupboard, great. Ephesians 5:18. Brother Ira, okay, God bless you. That's the four I believe I need here, so don't get it mixed up when I call you. Just pop right up and read it, all right? The Lord has truly been good to us this year. He's been good to every one of us each and every day of our life. He's a wonderful Savior who is faithful to His precious Word. He's brought us to a new year in which we should be challenged to live for Him and give it back to Him. An easy way to look at it is, hey, He gave me this day, let me give it right back to Him. After all, without Him, we would not have another breath to breathe. Every heartbeat that our heart beats, it's because God is telling it to beat, my friends. God, our life is in His hands. In order to help with this thought, I want to do something a little bit different. On this first Sunday night of this new year, I want us to consider the acrostic new year in which we will bring out something for each letter that all of God's children should put into practice this year. Now, as we travel through these simple thoughts, ask the Lord to speak to your heart. I'm so called speaking to the choir tonight. What that means is there's no new truth, friends. There's nothing new under the sun. These are things that we know. But sometimes it's good to put them all together where we can see them all in one place. Now, there is no way that I could list everything we need to do. But I promise you, if you will put these seven things in practice, it'll change your life. And God will bless you this year in a mighty, mighty way. Let me give these to you. The N. Again, it's different. I know that. But just bear with me. Will you do it? The N. Number your days. Number your days. The Bible says in Psalm 90 verse 12, here's what it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now, Brother Scott, read James chapter 4 verse 14. Now, you think about a vapor. Especially in cold weather, all these kind of things, you step out and you see your breath. This is deep teaching, I know that, friends. But you see your breath, but you don't see it long. It's here and it's gone. The Bible teaches us that our life is just like that vapor. And what I mean by number your days is this. Realize that time is so precious. And every moment is a moment you can never get back again. Let us live this year numbering our days. In other words, let us realize each day could be the last day on earth that we have. Therefore, if you're ever going to do something for the Lord, do it now. If you need to get something right with God, get it right now. Husbands and wives, children and parents, brothers and sisters, Christians and Christians, realize this may be the only day you have to do what you need to do for Jesus Christ. Number your days. Letter number two, the E. Exalt the Lord daily. Exalt the Lord daily. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 99, verse 5 and verse number 9, here's what it says. It says, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. The Bible teaches us, write these scriptures down if you're taking notes, Psalm 29, 2. Psalm 34, 3, Psalm 95, 6, and then Psalm 100. You're right there at it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pastures. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What I'm doing tonight, I'm just simply trying to challenge us. God has challenged me with these thoughts, and now I'm in turn trying to challenge the church with these simple thoughts to hopefully that you'll turn into a prayer list. What do you want me to do this year, God? Well, from the Word of God, we see he wants us to number our days. Don't count on tomorrow. Live for God now. Young people, listen to me. The devil's a master at trying to make you think that you can live your life now and do something for God later. You're not promised later. And we need to do something for God today, friends. Then exalt the Lord daily. Our lives are to be lived each day to exalt Jesus Christ. In a world that pushes the elevation of self, let us not fall prey to that teaching. Rather, let us realize that we exist. I mention again, we exist to uplift the Lord, not ourselves. We exist to exalt him, not ourselves. This year, let us live our lives each day to bring glory and honor to our great God. He is truly worthy to be exalted. And let us exalt him in our words. Let us exalt him in our actions. Let us exalt him in our thoughts. Realize that this is what life is all about. That is why this church exists. This church exists to exalt the Lord. This church exists to lift him up, and therefore he draws people to himself. The N is number your days. The E is exalt the Lord daily. The W is walk with God daily. Walk with God daily. The Bible says in Micah 6:8, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Who has 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17? Yes, sir. Pray without ceasing. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This year, determined to have a daily walk with God. This means to walk in the consciousness of his presence in your daily life. And friends, you and I cannot walk with God without having a time each day in his word. And you cannot walk with God without having a time each day that you talk with him in prayer. Don't let a day go by. Determine now that you're not going to let a day go by without spending some time every day in the Word of God. And don't let a day go by without spending some time every day talking to Jesus Christ. Determine to be closer to God this year than you ever have before. And you cannot do that unless you are reading His Word. Now listen to me, it doesn't stop there. Preacher Lashley has pumped for years and I'm pumping the same thing. That's really all I'm doing. I'm just pumping the same crank, my friends, that he pumped so many years about reading the Bible through in a year. Read God's Word every day of your life. And may I say this to you, my friends, we need to read God's Word daily. On top of that, we need to put what God's Word says into practice. What I mean by that is this. Does God want you to memorize His Word, yes or no? Sure He does. But how are you going to memorize it if you don't know what it says? Does He want you to obey His Word, yes or no? Sure He does. But how are you going to obey it if you don't read what it tells you to do? Friends, listen to me. Trust your pastor here. I've been down the road, not as long as many of you, but I have been down the road long enough to understand something. That when you do not walk with God, you are inviting the devil into your life. When you do not walk with God, you will get this, you will experience problems in other areas of your life. I've got to have the strength of God in my life, friends. I must be eating right. I must have God's strength in my life. I cannot defeat the devil without the Word of God. Get it? Mark it down. If Jesus used His Word to defeat the devil, how much more do you think I need to use His Word? I'm telling you, I need a daily dose of God's precious Word. Don't let a day go by without spending some time daily in the precious Word of God. Don't let a day go by without spending some time daily and many times throughout the day as the Holy Spirit prompts you to fall on your face. And yes, if you can literally do that, fine, but if you can't, it's more of an attitude of the heart, you understand? Have you ever been walking around during the day and all of a sudden you just feel to yourself, I need to go pray about that? The devil's not prompting you to do that. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you something that I need to do a better job of. I need to spend more time with God. I do not remember the last day. I'm not saying this to lift myself up. I'm just trying to let you know that what I preach in this pulpit, I try to live myself. I cannot remember the last day when I did not read the Bible. I can't remember it. I'm glad it's that way in my life. And I'm going to tell you something, determine that God's going to have to knock me out for 24 hours in order for me not to read His Word within a day. Read His Word every day. Walk with God on a daily basis. Then let me give you the why. You're getting me riled up here, friends. You shouldn't do that. The why. Yield to the Holy Spirit's control. Yield to the Holy Spirit's control. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, here's what it says. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Who has Ephesians 5:18? Yes, sir. Well, praise the Lord for that. I don't remember it. But anyway, it's interesting in that verse that God identifies the fullness of the Spirit with being drunk with wine. Why is He doing that? Let me tell you why. Because when somebody is drunk with wine, they are controlled by it. They're controlled by that foreign substance. When they are drunk, they are controlled by it. And it's interesting, he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He's saying don't let something on earth control your life, but rather let the Holy Spirit control your life. Be filled with the Spirit. An interesting way that I identify what this means to be filled with the Spirit of God is just like a work glove, if you will. In other words, if you take a work glove and lay it down right here and there it lays, I can say all day long, walk over here to me. Unless it's the Adams family, it's not going to do that. You understand what I'm saying? There's no power in that glove. There's no strength. It cannot possibly do what I'm asking it to do. But if I take my hand and fill it up, if I put it on, now I control it. And now it has the ability that I have. If I can make a fist, now it can. But you take my feeling out of it, and it can no longer make a fist. What did Jesus say in John chapter 15? Without me, ye can do nothing. I'm telling you right here when I'm talking about yielding to the Holy Spirit's control, Determine that you will yield yourself to whatever God wants you to do. This means you live a life of immediate and complete obedience to the Lord's will for your life. Go where He wants you to go. Say what He wants you to say. Do what He wants you to do. Think what He wants you to think. Somebody says, how do I get Spirit-filled? A daily dose of the Word of God. And a prayer life with a heartbeat that says, whatever God says, my answer is yes. See, some people say, wait a minute. I've got all this mess in my life. I've got to get this mess out. I've got to get it out. Got to get it out. How do you get that stuff out? D.L. Moody put it this way. I'm paraphrasing. But he's saying the way you get the junk out is you pump the good in, friends. And you allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill you up, then He will take those things out of you. Let God pump them things out of you. Don't say, I cannot do anything for God unless I get rid of that, unless I stop that, unless I quit this. You cannot stop that and stop this and quit that unless God helps you. So pump the Word of God in. Have the Holy Spirit of God controlling your life. Determine now, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Now I'm going to tell you something here. And I'm just trying to let you in my own heart here. I have made a commitment to the Lord. With this church, my leadership and all of this, I've made a commitment to the Lord. God, if you will show us what to do, we will do it. I mean that with every solitary ounce of my being. If God tells us to do that, we will do it. That's the way to live the Christian life, friends. Why are we afraid of God? We ought to be fearful of Him, stand in respect. But what I'm talking about is afraid that, oh, if I do what He wants me to do, where's He going to send me? What's He going to have me do? Can I say something to you, friends? Is He not worth it? And I'm saying that we live for Him on a daily basis, yielding to His Spirit's control. Whatever God wants, my answer is yes. Then let me give you the E. The E. The E is engage in soul winning. Engage in soul winning. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, you don't need to turn to it, but Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, a good way to read the Bible is what it says in the positive, it means the same thing in the negative. In other words, if he says he that winneth souls is wise, what's he saying about a Christian who doesn't win souls? They're not very smart upstairs. In other words, it's interesting, in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, you have the story of the maniac of Gadara, who was cutting himself, and he was up in the mountains naked and all this other kind of stuff. They tried to bind him with chains. He was so strong because of demon possession that he just plucked the chains off, and he was in the mountains crying night and day, and the city was very afraid of him. And yet Jesus stepped off the boat and he saw the Lord and ran to him. He called out for mercy, and Jesus saved him, changed his life. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and the crowd comes out to see it, and it scared them, and they kicked the Lord out of town. But it's interesting in that passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, that the maniac, whenever this took place and they kicked Jesus out of town, the one that had been so good to him, the one that had changed his life, the one that had been, just made him worth living now. He saved his soul. He wanted to go with Jesus. So would you. But the Lord said, uh-uh. He said, go home and tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. You know who Jesus was sending him back to? The same ones that just kicked him out of town. Because he knew that even though they could argue with the Lord, they could not argue with the changed life that they would see in that man. Friends, listen to me. There are some people here who put me to shame in soul winning. I'm burdened in this area. This is my heartbeat. It really is. I'm not a great one. And I have not arrived by any stretch of the imagination, but that is my heartbeat, friends. God has put a heartbeat of soul winning in your pastor's chest. I want to see people saved. Not only here, but around the world. And what I'm saying to you through this, listen to me, there are many of you precious people who are trying to win people to Christ. And I salute you. But all of us can do a little bit more. Amen. And may I say this, if you are not involved in soul winning, you are disobedient to God. That is disobeying the Lord. Somebody says, wait a minute, that's strong language. I know, but it's not my language, it's God's. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. You don't have to pray about soul winning, friends. You just need to be obedient and go. Let me say it this way. Let me stop saying you and let me say we. Because I've not arrived in that area. I've missed people this past year. I've walked by people and God said, give them a track, and I didn't do it. And I have been so convicted when I did that. On the other hand, when you go by somebody and God says, give them a track, and you witness to them and try to tell them about Christ, even if they don't get saved, it's like a peace comes over you because you know that you've obeyed the Lord. Brother Steve McNeely and I were out yesterday and we visited a dear man who's had some struggles. We were talking to him. We were tag teaming back and forth. I mean, the Holy Spirit was in that meeting, Brother Steve. There's no question about it. He'd say something and I'd say something else. He'd say something else. We're going back and forth this thing. This dear man who's had some struggles and so on, he said that he believed he was saved because he'd asked God to forgive his sins and he was trying to do the best he could. So we dealt with that. There's a lot of people say that, friends. Are you listening to me? It's not Jesus and something else. See, he was saying, I believe that I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me, and I'm trying to do the best I can, and that's what I'm trusting to get me to heaven. That's basically what he said. So we dealt with him about salvation by grace and grace alone. Make a long story short, that salvation is a gift of God. It's not of works, that God doesn't need any help. And I looked at him and I said, let me ask you a question. Has there been a time in your life when you have asked Jesus to come, that you realize that you were a sinner, that you asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you have trusted Christ and Christ alone for salvation? And he looked at me and he said, no, I don't think so. See, he was trying to trust Christ and himself. That's why when we asked him at first, do you know you're going to heaven? He basically said, I hope so. May not be the direct language he said, but Brother Steve, it was something like that. I hope so. I think so. See, you cannot have a surety on uncertain things, you see. And he was trying to rely on Jesus and himself. Therefore, he had doubt in his heart because he was not trusting Christ and Christ alone. But he understood the gospel yesterday. And he looked at us and he said, you know, nobody's ever explained it to me like that. That's what he said. Nobody's ever explained it to me like that. I said, would you like to trust Christ? Yes, I would. Amen. Brother Steve popped up and said, today? Yes, I would. And we prayed and he prayed, and if he meant what he prayed, he got saved yesterday. You say, why are you sharing it with me? Because it still works, my friends. There's still lost people out there who need Jesus as their Savior. And we need Christians who say, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to engage in this year. I'm going to engage in a lifestyle of soul winning. I'm going to give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a decision to make tonight. Even if you're scared to death, join the crowd. You say, Joe, do you mean you get nervous? Yes. You say, Joe, do you mean you get a little bit, frigidity? What? Yes. But I have a command of God. And we go because God told us to, not because we feel qualified. We are obeying the Lord. And as you obey God, he blesses it, you see. Let me give you the A here. The A. Attend church faithfully. Attend church faithfully. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me say this to you. It's been said that 48% of churchgoers, people that go to church, 48% of them attend once a month. Once a month. Now, we have a great group of people. You are among them who are being faithful to church. And I'm challenging you, stay with it. Stay with it. Let me give you some reasons here. I'm just going to mention these and give you a verse and go on. If you'd like to have this in detail, I can give it to you later. But let me give you several reasons why you need to be faithful to church. Okay? Number one, God commands it. Hebrews 10:25. Number two, we need it for perfecting. Ephesians 4:11-12 talks about, and he gave some pastors and teachers and some evangelists, and for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, one of the purposes of church is to perfect the saints. You know what perfect means there? It's the idea of mending the nets of the fishermen. In other words, the fishermen would take their net out and they would fish and they would fish and their nets would get marred. They'd get things tied into them or they'd be cut. So they would drag the net back to shore and they would mend their nets to get them ready to go get more fish. That's what they were doing. He's saying the church is for you to come, get your nets mended, get your sores with some medicine put on them. Get your life straightened out. Get your needs met so you can go out and be the effective soul winner that God wants you to be that week. Number three, to encourage God's man. 3 John verses 3 and 4. Let me say this to you. It encourages God's man to look out and see those who come to hear God's word preached. Let me give you a fourth reason. It gives the right representation of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're ambassadors for Christ. Question, if Jesus Christ were in bodily form, would he be in church every time the doors open? Yes. Therefore, if he would, so should I, because I'm his ambassador. I'm his representative. Number five, your children need it. Your children need it. Proverbs 22:6 talks about training up a child in the way he should go. Number six, you influence somebody else. Everybody has influence. And you're influencing somebody else. Psalm 78 verses 1 through 7. You can get this later if you want to get it later, okay? So don't worry about, you know, because I realize I'm going quickly here. Here's what I'm saying. If somebody's just a Sunday morning Christian and you're not, because you're here Sunday night, okay, but somebody who's a Sunday morning Christian, don't be surprised if your children don't go at all. I'll amen myself, our friends. You have influence. Number seven, church attendance affects other areas of life. You show me a strong soul winner who's not faithful to church. I challenge you to tell me about one. He's the best soul winner I know of. I guarantee he's in church every time the doors open. Amen, friends. It affects other areas of life. 2 Timothy 3:13 and 14. Number eight, you expect it out of others. Why should you come every time the doors open? You expect it out of others. Let me ask you a question. Do you expect me to be here every time the doors open? Well, sure, you're the pastor. Let me tell you something. I don't come to church because I'm the pastor. I come to church because I'm a Christian. Amen. And this is pleasing to God. Amen. You expect it out of others. Let me ask you a question. You expect the deacons to be here? You expect the Sunday school teachers to be here? The bus captains? Who wouldn't, right? That's natural. They ought to be here. They should be here. Matter of fact, that's a qualification. If they're not going to be faithful to church, they have no business in a place of leadership. But at the same time, why should I expect it out of others if I don't do it myself? Let me give you another one. I'm just about done here with this. You ought to do it to put God first. This is God's house. It's not my house. It's not your house either. It's God's house. So we ought to prioritize it. Colossians 1:18, Matthew 6:25 and 34. Let me give you two more here. We ought to come for fellowship. You need and I need Christian fellowship. What a place to get it, in the house of God. Isn't it good to have a church family, friends? Especially when you're in heartache and trouble and maybe death. It's good to have a church family to love on you. The Bible teaches this in 1 John 1:3. Let me give you the last thing. It's a good thing. You know what James 4:17 says? If any man know to do good, I'm paraphrasing, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Is church attendance a good thing? So you know that, right? Then it's sin if you don't do it. Simple. Somebody put it this way. I don't know how many more Sundays God may give me. It would be poor preparation for my first Sunday in heaven to have slighted my last one on earth. Let's be faithful to church. And you are, and I salute you. God bless you. Thank you for being faithful to church. Let me give you the last thing, the R. The R. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 teaches this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're not to live in fear. We're to live in faith. However, with this being said, we do not realize right now what this year may bring. This could be the year that's the best year of our life. Or it could be the year that's the worst year of our life. The greatest things may happen this year, or the worst things may happen this year. Some may lose their health, some may lose their job, and some may lose their loved one this year. But the point I'm trying to make here is for us to determine that no matter what takes place, good or bad, let us rejoice in the Lord always. Let us realize that God is good, no matter what's taking place in my life. God is still good. He's good, and He makes no mistakes. Challenge yourself with this simple acrostic. Number your days. Exalt the Lord. Walk with God. Yield to what He tells you to do. Engage in soul winning. Attend church faithfully. And determine to rejoice in Him no matter what happens. I challenge you to take these thoughts, make them a prayer list. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and thank You for this day. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us to trust You and believe You. Guide our thoughts, I pray, this night. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Is God speaking to your heart tonight? Maybe it's about your daily walk. Maybe you don't read the Bible every day and God's speaking to you about that. Maybe you don't pray every day, or maybe you've not been yielding to what God wants you to do. Maybe God's speaking to you about your soul winning. Maybe you're scared to death, but you know God wants you to do it. And you want to commit yourself to do that. Or attending church faithfully, or maybe you've just come through the biggest trial of your life, or you've just come through the worst year of your life, or maybe you're going through the worst thing in your life right now. And God's speaking to you about, you know, I know it's hard, and I know it's tough, and I know it's difficult, but I am still good. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? And rejoice in it. Whatever God's speaking to you about. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus. Maybe there's somebody here who's been relying on Jesus and their good works for heaven, and God's speaking to you about, you know, it's not me and anything, it's me alone. Come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll help you with this. However God is speaking, we want you to come. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thought and use it in a great way in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, come now. Would you do that?
Just keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race to be run. There's a victory to be won. Every hour by Thy power, keep me true. Jesus, keep me true.
As he sings, the Lord is dealing with people.
Keep me true, Lord Jesus.
We want to do what God wants us to do.
Keep me true.
Whatever it is.
There's a race to be run.
The Lord added.
There's a victory to be won. Every hour by thy power, keep me true.
People are praying. They're playing through. Brother Mark, if you want to come, I'll call the church into session. We're going to have a brief business meeting here. Thank you.